Okay, welcome everybody. I'm going to go ahead and get started. Thanks for coming, and we're going to give an update on the latest sampling today. And
we're picking up almost exactly where we left off, at a town hall for residents impacted by the biolab fire.
I believe people have a right to know what we've identified and what you've possibly been exposed to as soon as possible.
I'm in Covington. It's the next town over from Conyers for yet another presentation by Scott Smith, the environmental activist and independent tester who's been sending samples of soil, water, and debris to labs to see what kind of chemical exposure nearby residents are dealing with.
Broke out and everything. But we noticed a lot of stuff in the yard, like stuff in the car, maybe stuff in the yard. I wasn't in a frame of mind to pick it up and put it in a plastic bag then.
Almost 1 year later, and it all sounds eerily similar. Residents gathered with questions no one from biolab or local government seemed willing or able to answer. What was in that toxic plume of smoke? Was whatever was left behind dangerous? And what will be the long-term impact on the community's health?
And this is what we call like a fingerprint. In many ways, this is like a crime scene.
As I looked around the room, I realized I only recognize a handful of people in the crowd. Sandra Stevens-Jordan, who had dealt with a slate of health issues and hospital visits since last year, is sitting quietly in the back with her mother and her husband.
2 days after the biolab fire, I started having really, really, really bad headaches.
And Cheryl Garcia, the Conyers resident who was recommended speech therapy for damage to her vocal cords.
Sorry, this is my biolab voice, not my normal voice, so I just want to...
She looks on with her husband, anxiously awaiting the test results from their prized persimmon tree.
They taste between a mango and a peach, and we like to eat them when they're crunchy. And it's like the best dessert in the world. They're just so sweet.
Smith says his test turned up chemicals that can pose health concerns, including some linked to cancer risk.
You know, anthracene, benzoanthracene, these are, you know, fluoranthine. These are all, if they're not suspected human carcinogens, they are human carcinogens. If you were in a workplace and environment and exposed to these, people would get in trouble.
Not every compound he lists is officially classified as a carcinogen. But as I watch Cheryl and her husband's face fall, hearing that interpretation, as I listen to Scott's presentation, I can't help but wonder if the community will ever get a straight answer from Biolab about what was in that warehouse. And if not, where else those answers might lie. I'm Pamela Kirkland, and this is Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Last season, we traced what happened on September 29th, 2024.
The sprinkler head burst, it's smoking everywhere. The chemical smoke everywhere.
Chemical smoke that triggered evacuations and shelter-in-place orders. Conyers residents told me those evacuation orders were useless because they had nowhere to evacuate to. Most couldn't afford to move to a hotel. Shelter beds were few and far between. And getting anywhere in the immediate aftermath of those evacuation orders was impossible because of gridlock. There was a chlorine smell in the air for several days in Rockdale County and many other counties around Metro Atlanta. And this wasn't the first time. In 2004, 12.5 million pounds of chemicals at Biolab caught fire.
This is not a one-time event. This is not a two-time event. My aunt passed away with lung issues, and I watched as her neighbors, one by one, succumbed to this deadly thing.
In 2020, it happened again, both here in Georgia and at Biolab's Louisiana plant. Over six episodes, we've followed residents like Cheryl Garcia and Gene Sadler as they ask questions about the response, going as far as filing their own open records requests and pressing Biolab for answers about what was inside that warehouse that had taken such a toll on their health.
She said, I can't say that these are burned, but there's clearly some damage to your vocal cords.
By the end of season one, we had peeked inside the business of manufacturing and selling pool chemicals. We asked what Kick Consumer Products, BioLab's parent company, was. We talked to independent testers who were monitoring the chemicals left behind in the air and soil and water after federal regulators like the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency left. And we asked, what happens if BioLab is allowed to remain in Conyers?
If they let them stay and operate, how safe are we?
And that is where we left off. It's been a minute since our last episode. I had fully planned on taking a break after we wrapped season one, but it seemed like the news just kept coming.
BioLab announcing its chemical plant in Conyers will not resume.
That was the site, of course, of a fire that started a large chemical plume. The
Chemical Safety Board released a new update into the investigation into that BioLab fire in Rockdale County.
In May, BioLab announced they would shift to a distribution-only model. No more manufacturing in Conyers. The U.S. Chemical Safety Board published a second update in their investigation soon after. The CSB found corrosion, rusted out sprinkler heads in the storage warehouse that burned down. They also found chemicals that shouldn't be next to each other. We'll have more on those details later in this episode. That all happened just days after we published the final episode of season one. I was literally standing on top of a mountain, taking a deep breath and thinking about how grateful I was to be able to disconnect. And then a message appeared in my inbox.
You know, I was on Spotify just looking for new stuff to listen to. And I was like, all right, well, I'm in manufacturing. Let me see if I can find manufacturing podcasts.
Randy Garcia didn't just work in manufacturing. He used to work at BioLab. And quite recently, he told me he left the company about 5 months before the fire on September 29th, 2024. Hearing the stories of Gene Sadler and Cheryl Garcia and all the voices from season one prompted him to get in touch with me.
You know, listening to different perspectives and listening to, you know, how different Conyers residents were, you know, still really fighting to get answers. It was just like, you know, I know what chemicals were in there. I was there working with them every day.
Finally, someone who could tell me whether or not what we learned last season made sense. One of the first things he did was give me a list of chemicals he knew were inside. That list included trichloroisocyanuric acid, better known as TCCA, the chlorine-based pool chemical that officials pointed to as what started the BioLab fire. In season one, we learned how TCCA reacts violently with small amounts of water, producing toxic smoke. It's what forced evacuations in 2020 and most recently in September 2024. And the same chemical that caused the BioLab facility in Westlake, Louisiana to burn to the ground.
When I was first hired, I was supposed to be, you know, working there and really helping out with that.
But Randy never made it to Louisiana. Instead, he became the only on-site engineer at the Conyers BioLab facility. One of the buildings he was tasked with managing was what would become the burned-down storage warehouse holding that chlorine-based oxidizer.
I mean, when you're holding that much TCCA, it's very corrosive. And that was honestly the main reason why we were having so many issues with the sprinkler heads.
That rhymes with the CSB report that said the warehouse had leaking sprinklers and even leaks in the roof. But the source of the water that set off the fire is still unclear. So what other chemicals were being stored inside? Well, according to Randy,
you know, like the main ones that are like toxic, you know, like TCCA, DCCA, that's like the main ones. But you have CYA, cyanuric acid, you have sodium hydroxide, hydrochloric acid, sulfamic acid, bromine, boric acid. You know, these are like the main toxic chemicals that would be housed.
Randy's list has all the chemicals listed in a response to one of my open records requests. But Randy had chemicals not in my list too. And so the question remains, why, all these months later, there has been no official list of the chemicals BioLab was storing released to the public.
So OSHA knows, EPA knows. This shouldn't be a mystery.
I've asked OSHA and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for that list. But because there is an ongoing investigation into the Conyers plant, they denied my records request.
I highly doubt this interview will happen, but we're going to try. Yeah. We're going to try. God, all right, I'm going to clip this on you. Yeah, him and...
I haven't seen Cheryl Garcia in months.
You know, we've tried to get life back to normal, but it's really... It really still isn't the same.
We sit down at her dining room table, and she tells me her reaction to BioLab's announcement that they won't manufacture chemicals in Conyers anymore.
They're still there. The chemicals are still there. So why is that any better than, I mean, perhaps it's a smaller quantity, but the chemicals are still there, and there's still a risk of fire. Have any of the safeguards been put into place to prevent having another fire? Are those chemicals away from water? I mean, so I'm still very unhappy, and I've made that very clear to the Board of Commissioners.
I've tried to get Rockdale County to speak with me for an interview or to talk about the economic impact of losing the manufacturing jobs at BioLab. A former employee told me about 28 people work there now. That's compared to 241 employees, according to the CSB report. Other former employees say up to 600 can work there during prime pool season in the summer.
Yeah, a lot of people lost their jobs. And, you know, because we don't know who they are, we don't know if they've been absorbed in other industries here. But it's sad. It was a disaster all the way around, economically for the county, economically for the employees there. Health-wise for the citizens, economically for some of the citizens.
The news that the factory arm was essentially shutting down was big news in the community. But to Jean Sadler, the retiree who lives near the plant, she knew something like this was coming months ago.
So one of the things we heard that they're going to have to leave. They're going to leave. They're extending the stay for the warehouses that have chemicals that need to be shipped out that are already there. But as far as making more chemicals, they're not.
That was from my conversation with Jean back in March. 2 months later, BioLab announced they would stop manufacturing in Conyers. She couldn't meet me in person this time. She's recovering from back surgery, so we talked on Zoom.
How's your recovery been? How are you feeling?
Well, I have good days and bad days, but I'm healing. I'm still healing.
She doesn't blame BioLab for her back issues, but she has a list of other problems she suspects were caused by the fire almost a year later. They're still impacting her.
So, I'm still having trouble with my eyes. I'm still having the runny nose that even I've gone to the doctor. And the medicine that they've given me, it's only temporary. It doesn't clear it up. If I stop taking it, I'll continue to have the runny nose and the burning eyes.
She had heard the news about BioLab continuing to distribute out of the Conyers plant. Like Cheryl, she felt like that news was bittersweet.
I was sad that people lost their jobs, but I'm glad that we don't have to deal with that again, because this is not just the first time, second time, third time. This is the second major one, but they've had other small fires that the community didn't even know about.
We'll come back to her point about accidents the community didn't know about. But in the meantime, Jean's been doing her best to get life back to normal. Like Cheryl, Jean spent the past year piecing together scraps of information, rumors around town, half answers from county meetings. But remember, Jean worked for one of the staffing agencies BioLab depended on for hiring, and many of those whispers she's heard coming out of BioLab have turned out to be true.
I've heard that the reason it was so explosive is because it was during the time that the hurricane was coming in.
Hurricane Helene had the entire southeastern region of the United States on high alert.
Crushed or lost power.
No power lines down everywhere.
They're still empty and in repair.
Wow. God, this house after house. We're not just going to snap back from this. I mean, this is generational work.
Commercial timber losses come to about $1.8 billion across the four states hit hardest by Helene.
Running out of candles, running out of batteries. Everybody right now is kind of in survival mode because everything is very limited.
The Carolinas were under tropical storm warnings, but Florida and Southwest Georgia were under hurricane warnings.
One of the plants from either South Carolina or North Carolina, I'm not sure which one, had a truck full of the chemicals, and because the storm was going to hit there, they opted to bring a load of chemicals to the Conyers biolab.
This is not the first time I've heard this theory. When the fire happened, I asked biolab what their plan is to prepare ahead of hurricanes, partly because this fire happened almost immediately after Hurricane Helene impacted Georgia, but also because Hurricane Laura was the cause of the fire in Louisiana in 2020. They told me they do have protocols in place that, quote, are intended to protect personnel and product. And when I followed up specifically about Gene's claim that extra chemicals were rerouted to Conyers because of the storm, Biolab said they had no information to share. The U.S. Chemical Safety Board's second report on the most recent fire at Biolab details just how explosive that fire last year was. Rockdale County firefighters on scene that morning told the CSB that they saw small explosions as a result of chemical reactions. Product was shooting out of the building. One person said, quote, "It sounded like you were at the gun range. Pow, 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 pow." Biolab told Rockdale County it would hold no more than 6.5 million pounds of chemicals in their warehouse.
At the time of the incident, Biolab was storing approximately 13.9 million pounds of reactive chemicals.
That's CSB investigator Vanzella Vincent, and she just said the CSB investigation found Biolab was storing nearly double what they had told Rockdale County they would hold. Randy Garcia, the former Biolab engineer, wasn't surprised.
I know while I was there, you know, we always talk about, you know, we don't have enough to meet demand. So it was, I wasn't aware that, you know, we were originally stated for like, you know, under 7 million. Because it's not like illegal to, you know, to have a certain amount. So it's pretty much as you could fit. And if, you know, if you need more and it doesn't fit, you figure out somewhere else to store it.
And then there's the scale of this fire. It's hard to say it was the biggest. How do you measure the size of a warehouse fire? But of the historic Biolab fires, either in Conyers or in Louisiana, the fire last year definitely had the most stuff to burn. The CSB also found the chemicals were outside designated storage areas, which means they were outside the firewall meant to stop the spread of the fire. They also found lots of recurring corrosion, basically the rusting and deterioration of the company's sprinkler system.
As far as I was concerned, I assumed it was the sprinklers, and because it was the issue I was constantly dealing with. I think I replaced like well over like 40 sprinkler heads while I was there.
That was part of Randy's job, swapping out rusty sprinkler heads for new corrosion-resistant ones. Randy left Biolab 5 months before the fire, but just 2 weeks before that warehouse went up in flames, workers were still making emergency repairs to leaky, corroded sprinkler heads.
When I first started, that was like one of the issues we were having, right? It was a lot of the sprinkler heads were just faulty. So, you know, I spent a good amount of money just replacing them. I brought up questions about why do we have a water-based fire system over water-reactive chemicals? you know, I brought up the risk that could come about, but we got approvals on everything. So management was just like, you know, no one is forcing us to change it.
This isn't the CSB's final report on the biolab fire. They had said they hoped their investigation would be completed within a year to a year and a half of the accident. This report called the failures they found preventable hazards. In fact, the head of the CSB said in a statement, quote, "The more we learn about this unacceptable incident, the more disturbing it is. But there's a very real risk that the CSB might go away, get cut by the federal government. That's something we're going to pay attention to this season." Randy Garcia wasn't the only former employee coming forward about those hazards inside the plant. A former safety manager at BioLab, who asked not to be named, told me they left the company because BioLab was resistant to taking any of their suggestions to fix some of the ongoing safety issues. They described broken eyewash stations, corroded fire extinguishers, and workers without proper protection. They said, quote, "It was finance that ran that company, and if it didn't return benefits immediately, they weren't going to invest in it." Randy agrees.
It always seemed like that was always the MO there. It's like, what can we do besides fully fixing the problem?
BioLab declined an interview about the CSB report, but provided a written statement saying they disagree with many of CSB's statements. I asked which statements they took issue with, but they did not clarify which parts of the report they dispute. The former employees that reached out to me made a lot of relevant points, but two really stuck out to me. First, they insisted that talking about BioLab alone misses the bigger picture. They said the real story is BioLab's parent company, Kik Consumer Products.
And really, you know, people say, yeah, BioLab this, but it's really Kik. Kik is the parent company. BioLab is, you know, it's just a trade, you know, a brand name. But really, you know, the Kik leadership, If we weren't really forced to do anything by any of the regulatory bodies, then they weren't really going to do it. They weren't going to spend the money.
You see both names in the CSB report, BioLab and Kik. Kik Consumer Products acquired BioLab from a company called Chemtura in 2013 and set it up as a subsidiary. Since then, the company has controlled everything from corporate leadership to chemical storage practices in Conyers. And this won't be the last time you hear about Kik. Over the course of this season, we'll dig deeper into how the parent company operates and what decisions were made at the corporate level. The former employees also wanted to make clear that the accidents we know about are just the tip of the iceberg. Inside BioLab, there were countless close calls. Employees even had a nickname for them: smokers. Small chemical reactions that didn't erupt into full-blown fires, but still sent smoke through the plant. I found one smoker incident on November 19, 2023, and obtained the 911 calls.
Rockdale County 911, what is the location of your emergency?
So we're riding down I-20, and we went through a cloud of what appeared to be chlorine.
It's like a chemical smell, real bad. I couldn't breathe, and it's burning my eyes.
Remember Gene saying there had been all these small fires no one talks about? That was one. There's another I'm still looking for.
So we were really in danger back in 2019 when they had one that they didn't warn us about. So we just thought it was, oh, it's just smoke in the air. But no, it was smoke from BioLab.
Then, at the end of July, my phone rang again about another fire.
Now to a massive fire in Rockdale County. The flames broke out just before 6 tonight.
Cheryl Garcia's phone rang, too.
I mean, when I got that call about BioLab's on fire again, it was just like, you know, it was almost like rewinding the tape in my head. Here we go again. Oh, my God. Life is just going to come to a screeching halt again.
Thankfully, this time, the fire was across the street at an auto shop just off I-20.
So I haven't even gotten the energy to write and say, what chemicals did they have? Well, you know, what's in, is it propane? What, you know, what gases were we exposed to?
even when the smoke wasn't coming from BioLab, for nearby residents like Cheryl, the fear came rushing back because after living through years of fires and close calls, the real question for her isn't will it happen again? It's just a matter of when. On the next episode of Manufacturing Danger, the BioLab story.
But the coughing got worse. So I took him to the emergency room at Arthur Blank's hospital. And after checking him, they decided, you know, his breathing level had went too low.
The health impacts still facing the adults and the children in the community. That's next time. Manufacturing Danger, the BioLab story, is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. This podcast was written by me, Pamela Kirkland. Grant Blankenship is our senior editor. GPB's podcast team includes Sandy Malcolm, Jeremy Powell, Jake Cook, and Mark Davenport. For more, visit gpb.org/podcasts.